Hey everybody, I'm Dr. Moon, and I'm excited that you've come to listen to me today. I'm going to be talking about the power of small social emotional groups in elementary school. So let's take a look at some small social and emotional counseling groups for kids who are in grades 3 through 5. So what I'm going to do today is kind of walk you through why small groups matter and share a couple of success stories. I want to kind of explore on counselors how we can leverage small groups to become like an ASCA, Ask a Closing the Gap action plan. And I also want to give you some tips on how to build some engaging and creative groups. So why do social emotional groups matter? Why do they matter? Because between 3rd and 5th grade, students start to experience a whole wide range of emotions. They've got new relationships and they're starting to get challenges with greater intensity. So a lot of times we can see this translate into behavioral issues. When we see that in the classroom, we can see it in academic struggles, and we can also see social isolation, yes. So I think that small groups are one of the most effective ways to support students who are in this stage. So these groups create a safe environment for students to learn emotional regulation. They are building peer connections, and it's helping them to improve their ability to focus on academics. So whether it's helping kids with anxiety or anger management or academic motivation, these groups can offer targeted support that wouldn't be possible in an individual session alone. So let me tell you a couple of stories to kind of illustrate the impacts of these groups. I have a case of Jonah. This is a behavioral issues. Jonah was a 4th grader, constantly sent to the principal's office for outbursts in class. So he joined an anger management group with other students that were kind of dealing with some similar frustrations. And as he worked in the group, he started doing role play activities and mindfulness exercises. And so in the group, Jonah learned how to express his anger in healthier ways. So by the end, everything, when that was finished, Jonah's teachers were like, hey, we're noticing fewer outbursts and improved focus. So hopefully that was because the group was successful. Another one that I have is Emily's story, and this is about social isolation. I can't talk today. So Emily is a shy 3rd grader. She had a lot of trouble making friends, and she spent recess alone. And she joined a friendship skill group where students just practice conversation starters and team building activities. And by the end of the semester, happy to say, Emily not only found a good group of friends, but she was able to start participating more actively in class. So it was a double bonus. So how can we leverage groups with the Ask a Closing the Gap action plan? Groups are very powerful tools for counselors when we're working in the Ask a National model. And one strategy is using groups to implement what we call closing the gap action plans. So what's an Ask a Closing the Gap action plan? These plans identify disparities in students' performance, whether related to behavior, attendance, or academics, and outline specific interventions to address those gaps. So for example, if a school notices that students are receiving free or reduced lunch and they're missing more school days, the counselor might use small groups to address underlying issues like stress and anxiety that kind of go along with absenteeism. So let's look at 4 strategies for creating engaging and impactful groups. Number 1, theme-based groups. Design the group around fun themes. So I love doing superhero stuff. You could do space adventure, and each session is going to tie back to emotional regulation or problem solving. Another creative strategy is to incorporate art and play. And this is my favorite as an art therapist. I love to do really tangible stuff with kids. So I enjoy this. So incorporate art and play. So you can have a group that does expressive arts. Maybe they do some sand tray. They're doing drawing exercises. They're doing role play. And in that group, students are learning how to express emotions creatively. Another group could be an involved movement. So you would incorporate physical activities like yoga or breathing exercises or group games to support students who have that really high level energy or they have high level anxiety. And the 4th creative one is, it's just fun. These are create student-led sessions. So towards the end of the group cycle, as you've gone through your working and you're getting towards the end, allow students to lead part of a session. And that's a lot of fun because it helps them build leadership skills and they can reinforce what they've learned because they've been watching you the whole time. Now they're going to be mimicking your behavior. And that way you know that they learned something from you. So let's talk about some creative lessons, some creative group lessons. One thing that you could do are mindfulness jars. So kids can fill jars with glitter and with water. And when they shake, the glitter represents the emotions swirling inside. And as the glitter settles, students practice breathing exercises, learning to calm down when their emotions run high. Another one, social skills roles playing. I love this. Students can act out scenarios like joining a group at recess or resolving a conflict with a friend. This really helps them build confidence in real life situations. Here's a good one, academic motivation bingo. So you're doing a bingo game with squares that include positive study habits, like completed homework on time or ask for help when confused. So this encourages kids to develop healthy academic behaviors. You know, it's really essential to get parental consent before starting groups in any counseling session. Open communication with parents really helps build trust and ensures that everyone's on the same page about the group's goals. Now, I will say, sometimes in some school districts, it's really, really hard to get a consent back from the parent because you can't get in touch with them or they won't send it back. So you can also do what I'll call kind of like a reverse one, where you send it out home that the group is happening, and if they don't want their child to participate, then they can send in a note saying that they don't want to. So that's kind of a way that you could work around that. But also you want to document everything. So keep records of the group session topics, who came, the progress that you're seeing, and any behavioral differences. So this not only protects the counselor legally, but it also gives you valuable data to measure the group's effectiveness, because documentation is essential for tracking your progress towards the ASCA Closing the Gap action plan goals. So just to wrap it up, small social and emotional groups are a powerful way for elementary school counselors to make a lasting impact. And through these groups, students can develop skills so they're starting to manage their emotions, they're building friendships, and they succeed academically. So when used strategically as part of ASCA's Closing the Gap action plans, these groups can address disparities and ensure that all of our students are thriving. So if you're a counselor and you're looking to build creative and engaging groups, remember to get parental consent, remember to document everything, but most of all, have fun with it. So thanks for listening. I'm so glad that we could get together and share some things. And I hope that this will help you make a difference with one student at a time.